21. Gwen was walking in the lead and was the first to notice the line of smoke in the distance. It rose straight up from the treetops, then followed the wind toward the horizon, dissipating as it went. They all agreed that the smoke probably meant that there was a cabin in their path, which might mean comfort, or might mean danger. Most likely it would mean one of those things followed by the other, but they didn't know what the order would be, and couldn't know until they got there. When they finally drew within sight of the cabin, they were not surprised to see the front porch populated by three women in stereotypical wench costumes, engaged in stereotypical wench activities: churning butter, washing clothes, knitting, and gossiping in high-pitched, giggly voices. They were surprised that the cabin seemed to have suffered a fire, which had left it badly charred but intact structurally. Rather than having one member of the group break off and act as a spokesman, all four of them approached the cabin, Martin and Britt carrying the sequin-shrouded lump of ore with them. Gwen was still in the lead and took the initiative to speak first. She smiled and said, "Hello." One of the women on the porch looked up from her knitting, tossing her mane of blonde hair back and smiling with parted lips before saying, "Hello, stout menfolk." Gwen listened to her greeting, looked at her face, her body, and her general demeanor, and said, "Son of a bitch!" Of course, Gwen recognized her own features instantly, even though they'd been transplanted onto another person with very different hair, clothes, mannerisms, and measurements. She also recognized them on the brunette woman who was wringing out clothing provocatively, and the redhead who said,
"Welcome,"
while churning butter in a manner that made provocation itself look demure. Britt said,
"They all look like you."
Gwen said,
"I noticed."
After taking a moment to watch the wenches writhe and flutter and make prolonged eye contact with anything that would hold still, Martin said,
"They don't act like you, though."
Gwen said,
"Damned right."
Roy groaned,
"Gwen, kiddo, I'm sorry. I feel like I owe you an apology just for seeing this."
She told Roy not to worry about it, then gave Martin a look that would have decalcified his spine if he'd been looking at her. The real her, at least. She shook her head and said,
"I don't get it. Why do they look like me?"
Britt said,
"Whoever made this quest must have had reason to think that one or all of the guys was attracted to you."
It only took an instant to remember that one of the guys Britt was referring to was Philip, with whom Britt had been in a fairly serious relationship for 3 years. Gwen said,
"Oh, Britt, I'm sure Philip isn't..."
"Gwen, I'm pretty sure he is,"
Britt interrupted, laughing.
"And I'm okay with it. You're cute. Him thinking you're attractive just means that he has good taste. We haven't discussed it. I don't believe he'd ever act on it. But if he told me he didn't think you were attractive, I'd be worried because he was lying to me."
Gwen smiled and said,
"Thanks."
Martin, still looking at the false Gwens on the porch, said,
"I think you're attractive."
Gwen scowled and said,
"Yeah, thanks."
"Well, what do you want to do?"
Roy asked. Gwen said,
"I want to get out of here and forget that I ever saw this. But what I'm going to do is go talk to me and see if we can figure out what's going on."
Martin said,
"You don't have to do it." "I could."
Gwen said,
"No, I have to do it, so you can't."
Gwen stepped toward the cabin and asked,
"Okay, what's your deal?"
The fake Gwen with the blonde hair and the knitting needles licked her lips slightly and started to speak, but was interrupted by a voice from inside the cabin, asking who she was talking to. The blonde replied,
"Come see for yourself."
The door swung open, and another slightly imperfect Gwen clone emerged, this one with straight black hair and a tight silk dress. The new Gwen cast her gaze over the real Gwen and her friends and said,
"Oh, who are our handsome visitors?"
The blonde said,
"Warriors on a long journey. I expect they'll be looking for a place to rest."
The black-haired Gwen said,
"I'll go prepare the guest beds, though I don't know how restful their night will be."
Gwen turned to look at her compatriots. Roy had turned his back, actively avoiding looking at the fake Gwens. Martin was looking more than enough for both of them. Britt tried her hardest to be reassuring. She said,
I know how this looks, but I'm sure the guys behaved in a perfectly honorable manner.
The blonde Gwen said,
Kind sirs, please don't embarrass us with talk of money.
Real Gwen whipped around to look at her as if she'd heard a gunshot.
We insist that you stay with us,
the blonde said.
Please, you'd be doing us a favor. The four of us have lived alone here since we were small girls. We've been without any companionship since our father died. Somehow, we have a great deal of delicious food, all of which has been cut into bite-sized morsels. Perfect for hand feeding. We'll happily share it. All we ask is your company. We have never had men visit before. We are very curious and have many questions.
Not as many as I do, sister,
Gwen muttered. Oblivious, the blonde said,
And of course we'll give you shelter for the night. We have soft beds, satin sheets, silk pajamas, and a large variety of exotic lotions.
Gwen frowned.
And that answers a lot of them.
She looked at the blonde copy of herself, sitting there coyly with the end of her knitting needle in her mouth. Gwen's gaze followed the needle down to the actual knitting, which appeared to be underwear.
That just seems incredibly itchy, she thought.
She chose not to look at the redhead churning butter, and instead turned her attention to the brunette doing laundry. She glanced at the actual clothes being laundered. What she saw did not make her happy. Gwen turned again to look at her friends. She considered asking them what they wanted to do, but she was certain she didn't want to know. Instead, she said,
We're moving on. Now.
None of the others were dumb or insensitive enough to argue, or even to look back as the cabin grew smaller in the distance behind them and eventually disappeared into the woods and into Martin's memories. Later, with no warning or discussion, Gwen turned to Martin and said,
Don't tell me you found them attractive.
It was more a command than a question. Martin didn't know what to say. She had told him what not to say, but excluding one possible reply didn't narrow things down very much.
Did you?
Gwen asked, pressing the issue.
Marvelous,
Martin thought.
She tells me what not to say, then gives me an opportunity not to say it. If I lie, she'll know it. And telling someone what they want to hear does you no good if they know you're lying.
Martin gaped and stammered for a moment. He became painfully aware that Britt and Roy were silent, listening to how this would play out. Martin said,
Gwen, do you understand that there's no right answer to that? You've asked me the Kobayashi Maru of questions, and there's no possible way to answer that won't make you mad.
Gwen said,
That's not a no.
Martin replied,
It's not a yes either. Let's be clear on that. Think about it.
What can I possibly say?
No, I was not attracted to those four provocatively dressed women who looked exactly like you. They disgusted me to my very core. That's no good.
Gwen said nothing.
Gwen, they looked like you, and they acted like female characters from an old James Bond movie. Of course that's going to get my attention. But I'd rather have one of you than all four of them.
Gwen half smiled for half a second, then went back to frowning, just less intensely. When it was clear that the storm had passed, Britt asked,
Did any of you happen to recognize the clothes the one on the end was washing?
Gwen said,
Of course I did. I made them.
She saw the confused look on Martin's face and continued,
Wizard robes. I recognized Phillips and Tyler's. There was something black that might have been Gary's, but the colors of the other two are pretty distinct.
What does that mean?
Martin asked.
Are they dead?
Not necessarily,
Gwen said.
Not yet. All it means is that they made it at least this far. And that they took off their robes.